Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for
it. Is the one and only Savage Nation, the most independent radio show in the United States of America. I almost said the USS of A, but okay, I'll hold off on that one. It's not yet the USS of A. It's close. It's not yet the Union of Soviet Socialist Americans. But we're very close. We're about 65% there. So the RNC is on. And I'm shocked to report to you tonight that they have anointed Mitt Romney as the candidate. Yes, there's a big shock there. All those posters and signs were not in vain. John Boehner, remember him? The Speaker of the House, the guy who kind of sounds like he's on a perennial scotch high, a combination of scotch and Chesterfields. John Boehner gave a kind of slurry speech today where he said that 99% of his colleagues, including the Democrat socialists under Obama, are decent, honest people who are trying to do the right thing for the country. So now when you understand why I am jaded about the political system, do you understand finally why I've called them Democrats or Republicrats since 1994 when I began a radio? Do you have any idea why? Now, look, don't mistake what I'm saying to you. I will vote for rigid Mitt. I will vote for rigid Mitt because anybody but the socialist Obama, let's put it to you that way, as I spell out in Trickle Down Tyranny, my last best-selling book. And incidentally, everyone who gets on this show today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, will get a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, 1-800-449-8255. If you're a new listener, you get to the head of the line. Because I know what happens. Like around these times, you get new listeners who are not political. They tune in. They say, oh, what's he talking about? Who should I vote for? What's blah, blah, blah. Now, I myself must tell you that this morning I was cleaning out a dustbuster. I've been using it, and it's not working very well. I don't use it that often. And it wasn't working well, so I took it apart. And as I took it apart, I was watching Fox News, and there were two girls on it with blonde hair arguing over nothing, talking about nothing. It was much ado about nothing. They're nice girls. I'm sure they're very nice girls, both of them. But they were sitting up there talking about nothing. And I turned the TV off and I thought I'd rather clean a dustbuster than be in Tampa myself. Honestly, I really would. I mean, do you feel bad that you're not there with all of the party apparatchiks celebrating, throwing sofas out of the window, going to lap dances in the striptease joints in the surrounding? What are they doing there? Am I the only American left who understands that these conventions are not only unnecessary, they're embarrassing? Democrat or Republican, embarrassing with a capital G. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. With the invention of the telephone, there was no longer a need for a convention. Conventions were originally held, as I explained to you, in the age of the horse, when representatives had to ride by horseback to a convention to nominate a candidate. But along came Alexander Graham Bell. And presto, we had a telephone. They could have called in their vote. There was no need for it. Unless it is to get drunk and, you know, roll like pigs in the trough. And, of course, there's the usual rent-a-protesters, Code Stinko, and the others that were saying end the war, even though it's Obama's war. They don't even know who's fighting the war anymore. The professional agitators are there, like Code Stink. Code Stink is there, even though the Democrats are running the country. It's a Democrat president, and we're still stuck in Afghanistan. They're attacking Romney for the war in Afghanistan. I love that one. Well, I don't know what you want to talk about. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. If you never visited my website, michaelsavage.com, it's waiting for you. The headline story is interesting. Headline says, actress hopes hurricane kills every, quote, every pro-life, xenophobic, gay-bashing SOB at the RNC. Now, that's a woman who you don't remember anymore. Her last movie was made in 1984, Ellen Barkin. Ellen Barkin. She was hot in 1984. And so now she's praying that the tropical storm would kill Republicans. Now, I have a theory as to when they become more psychotically leftist. And it's a quotient. If you remember your mathematics, the lower the derriere, the LD, the lower the derriere, the higher the ID, the higher the LQ. The lower the derriere, the higher the liberal quotient. If you do that mathematically, you'll see it's always true. It was first noticed with Goldie Hawn. The lower her derriere went, the higher her liberal quotient rose. It's the same now with Ellen Barkin. When no one pays any more attention to them, their last gasp is appealing to the most vile elements of the so-called progressive food chain. Ellen Barkin hopes Hurricane kills every pro-life, xenophobic, gay-bashing SOB at the RNC. Ellen, you're ashamed to your parents. Ellen, you're ashamed to every man you ever married for his money, including the cosmetics, Ghanif. 1-800-449-8255. There are some other stories I haven't gotten to yet. What's going on in Afghanistan is enough to make any man weep. Our troops are being shot in the back by the Afghani vermin. The minute they're given weapons, they're turning them on our troops. And what I'm about to play for you should make every man demand that General Allen, who's commanding the troops in Afghanistan, be thrown out of the military. Not only relieved of his command, he should be thrown out of the military. This man is fit only to work for Rahm Emanuel in Chicago as a caterer. I want you to listen to the top general in Afghanistan after someone's sons were shot dead by the Afghani vermin. Listen to clip two. You're not going to believe it.
We're trying to understand what may have caused in each case, but also in the aggregate, why these attacks have occurred and why they have increased in number in the last several weeks. May have something to do with Ramadan. It's a very tough time for these forces, and in particular this year in Ramadan, as it is known in most of the Muslim world, Ramadan fell in the middle of the fighting season.
So now he's justifying why the enemy murderers shot our men in the back, but it gets even more nauseating in the next clip. Listen to this. Remember, wait, you're listening to General John Allen, who Obama made the chief, the top general in Afghanistan, taking the side of the enemy after so many insider attacks against our troops. Listen to this creep next.
The daily pressures that are on some of these troops, compounded by the sacrifice associated with fasting, the nature of our operational tempo, remembering that Afghan troops have gone to the field and they have stayed in the field, and they've been in combat now for years. We believe that the combination of many...
Shut up! Just get him off my show. If General Allen had been in charge of the military in World War II, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. That quisling, turncoat, SOB, this is the lowest I've ever heard. I've never heard a general speak like this. This is an example of the corporate mentality that has permeated the military. This is an example of what happens, when you purge the military of the genuine warriors, and what you're leaving are these dopes, these corporate dopes, who would be better off running a shoe store than running the military. Our boys are getting shot in the face, shot in the back, killed, coming home in body bags, and this General Allen says these insider attacks are a result of the stress of Ramadan fasting. That would be the equivalent of saying the reason the Germans are killing our troops, lining them up in 1941, 42, after they capture them and executing them, is because of the paganism, the pagan holidays that Hitler was famous for celebrating. That there was a lot of stress during the pagan rituals. They had a fast while Hermann Göring was eating a stuffed boar. And the fasting and the rituals of paganism that Hitler was imposing were just too stressful for the SS, and that's why they executed our troops. See, if we had a real commander-in-chief as opposed to the candy store dummy that we have there, John Allen would be fired today. He would be called home immediately. All right, there are other stories, and my blood's boiling. I hope yours isn't. Again, anyone who's lucky enough to clear my call screen or get on the Savage Nation gets to talk to more people than they'll meet for the rest of their lives, and they're going to win a copy of my best-selling book, Trickle Down Tyranny, which is a very important book because the subtitle is Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. I'm the number one New York Times bestselling author, Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue, oh how my heart yearns for you. Oh Peggy, my Peggy Sue.
See, here's the problem. Here's the problem. The Republicans are so uncool, it's frightening. You got a guy up there now, Mitch McConnell, who I call a gobbler. I mean, he's a good enough man. He's got good politics. But he looks like a turkey. Now he's got the gavel. I feel like I'm watching the Jerry Lewis telethon. The only thing missing is Jerry Lewis. Republican national conventions are like Jerry Lewis telethons without any talent. I mean, you know the Democrats are going to have all of the hot stuff, all of the degenerate left-wing actors, the ones we all like to watch falling down and going into rehab. Oh, there's a guy with a hat on. He's playing the organ or something. I guess that's... He's at least 78. They went down in age there. Where'd they get this guy from? Oh, God, does this look bad, Republicans. Can't they change? Can't they upgrade their image? Please. Please. Why are they... Can someone answer something to me? Answer a question. Please answer this question before I go clean out the dustbuster during the break again. I need an answer to this. I mean, I'd rather pump water out of the bilge in my boat than watch this. I have a question for you. Why are the Republicans going to rely upon Ann Romney to save Mitt Romney? The most disastrous mistake I could ever imagine. She is not running for office. She's not running for the presidency. Yesterday, she almost killed them all together by going on Meatloaf Jr.'s show and having the foolishness to say that Mitt ironed his own shirt this morning and did the laundry. Oh, my God. In an age of Islamofascism, a rising Russian bear, a snarling Chinese dragon, what we need is a president who does his own laundry. It's unbelievable to me. Oh, they're getting down now. I'm sorry. They got one blonde there in the audience. Two people I let out of the old age home. Brought them in right from Boca Raton. They're moving their hips for the first time in 5 years. The doctor gave them a dispensation to move their hips at the Republican convention. What is the point of this? I'm watching fools run around with signs and balloons. You know, I'm so agitated from what I'm watching over the last few months. I've gained weight. I'm putting weight on like crazy. I'm starting to look like the Robert De Niro character in Raging Bull in the last scenes when he owns his little, you know, seedy nightclub in Miami. And he put on 80 pounds for that scene. That's an amazing story. He's one of the greatest actors in history. I hate his politics, love his acting. Why is that some of the finest actors on earth are the most psychotic leftists? How does that work? They got all the money, you know, like God. Who is this guy with the saxophone now? Who is this guy with the granny hairdo? Is anyone watching this but me? I'm watching it on C-SPAN. I'm talking to you. There's not a musician under the age of 67 on the stage, and that's a young one. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not 30 years old myself, but you talk about wanting to diversify your image. You don't put white guys 75 years old with saxophones on the stage. Oh, you got the music? Go ahead. Play it. Direct from the RNC. Here it is. Direct from Boca Raton. Dead. It went dead now. I thought you said you had it for me. Oh, they ended it. Everyone got down. I'm eating organic popcorn with a touch of extra virgin olive oil. U.S.-grown organic corn is air-popped to crunchy perfection with a gentle hint of antioxidant-rich organic extra virgin olive oil and sea salt. Enjoy. I hate when they tell me to enjoy it. Organic extra virgin, produced in a facility that handles milk, wheat, soy, peanuts, and Democrats. Everyone's allergic to something. Unbelievable to me. I'm allergic to Democrat socialists myself. I can eat peanuts. I can eat soy. I can eat tree nuts. I can't take communists. I don't know about you. And here we have a general justifying why our troops are getting fragged by the enemy. Right? No, popcorn is good. It's supposed to be good for you. The Indians, look what it did for them. How good the corn was for them. Really advanced them. They were here 40,000 years. 1-800-449-8255. That's the history of civilization. One group comes in, they kill off the other group, or they push them off the plateau. We're getting pushed off our plateau now by the Mesoamerican invaders. And many of the libs are cheering them on, saying,
yeah, it was theirs to begin with. Right on. Let all of the Aztecs have it back again. Yeah. Yeah, give California back to the Aztecs.
And as their hearts start rolling down the pyramids, who will be there to protect them? Certainly not the U.S. Marines. There will be no Alamo left.
Yeah, let the Aztecs have the country back. It was theirs to begin with. Yeah.
So as you can see, I'm all over the map today as usual. Given that I don't have ADD, I'm just as sharp as a tack and everything's bothering me today. It's so awful to watch this. I'm disgusted by the convention. I'm disgusted by Romney's middle-of-the-road campaign. I'm disgusted by the media. I'm disgusted by Obama's communism, which is being hidden by the media. I'm disgusted by General John Allen saying that the spike in attacks on our troops is a result of Ramadan fasting. I'm disgusted by John Boehner saying that 99% of his colleagues are honest people trying to do the right thing for the country. Does that include Nancy Pelosi, John? Does that include Barbara Boxer, John? Does that include Dianne Feinstein, whose husband's wealth has gone up about tenfold since she became a powerful senator, John? These are decent, honest people, John? If we still had an independent FBI, if we still had a J. Edgar Hoover, I can guarantee you these things wouldn't be happening, this insider trading. I can guarantee you. And by the way, since we're talking about offenses against my sensibilities and yours, how come John Corzine has never been charged or indicted for the loss of over $1 billion from MF Global? You know, actual people lost money and actual people made that money. Where'd the money go? How much of it wound up in the hands of politicians? Anyone have that answer? If you do, give me a ring.
Savage.
Now, I know what many of you are thinking, which is if he doesn't stop bashing the Republicans, we're liable to lose the election. I know how most people think, but that's not my job. My job is not to sit here as a cheerleader for the Republican Party. First of all, I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent conservative, and they're far too meek for me. They're far too middle of the road for me. There's no passion there. There's no emotion there. They're not going to take on the issues of the day that matter to me personally as an American, such as the hordes of illegal aliens coming over the border and sacking our treasury, sacking our schools, sacking our hospitals, sacking our very country itself. They're not going to take on the issue of Islamofascism, which is one of the greatest threats to our survival the world that we've ever seen. It is the greatest threat. In fact, I want to go into this for a moment. Carl Jung, one of the founding fathers of psychology, wrote this about Hitler in the late 1930s. Now, remember, I'm quoting him in case your sensitivities are that of General Allen. Carl Jung wrote, "We don't know whether Hitler is founding a new Islam. He has already gone some way towards it. He resembles Muhammad. The German emotional world is Islamic. They are all acting as if intoxicated by a raging God. That may be our future history." Hitler liked Islam. Hitler liked that. He didn't like Christianity. He thought Christianity was weak and flabby. Hitler did. Well, he found out how weak and flabby we were. Thank God our grandfathers weren't weak and flabby. We know that Christianity is the only hope for the world. And we also know that if we have guys like General John Allen, that's right. Now, so you say, well, there's a clear choice here. We have Obama appoints a quisling like John Allen. Who is Romney going to appoint? What is Romney's position on the threat of radical Islam to Western civilization? We don't know. Probably has no position. Probably no position. All you're going to hear is jobs, 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 and Ann loves me, and I do my laundry. That's all you're going to hear. So why should I get excited about a convention that holds no merit, no mental merit, no intellectual merit, no emotional merit, no spiritual merit? And the same is going to be true for the Democrats. So they'll have younger, you know, musicians or junkies playing. They'll have some of the, you know, B-class sluts out there from Hollywood. All the A-listers are afraid to go there because they know Obama's so unpopular and it's liable to affect their bottom line in the movies. Because you, the moviegoer, is liable to say, you know what, I'm not going to that person's movie. I am not going to ever go to a movie again where Sean Penn appears in it. Never. Since he's such an America hater. Or I'm never going to go to a movie where Robert De Niro appears because he's such an Obama worshiper. Or Al Pacino or any of the rest of them, which I don't understand. They portray tough guys who are conservative from the West Village, Italianos, and yet their politics are that of pinkos. How does that work? How is it that guys like Al Pacino and the other actor I mentioned, his name I forgot already. What's his name? Robert De Niro. I mean, these are tough men. They're smart guys. They drove themselves to the top of their profession. They come from an Italian background in the West Village of New York. How did they wind up as pinkos? How does that happen? I don't understand it. Is it the mortadella over there is different? The water is there? I don't get it. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Everyone's going to get a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, hardcover version only. If they get on the show today, things are good. Life is good. People are wonderful. Business is great. And I cannot watch this another day. New York, Lou, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I think you were a little too harsh on General Allen out in Afghanistan. If you listen to what he says, he was actually, in my opinion, only educating us as to what to expect from the religion of peace. I mean, this sounded like normal, you know.
No, he didn't say that. He said that as a result of fasting, they killed our men. They shot them in the back. That's what he said.
Part of the religion and, you know.
Wait, hold on. Part of the religion is to shoot Americans in the back?
No, it's the fast, but the outcome of that based on the totality.
Kippur, they go and shoot their commanding officer in the back?
I don't think so. I haven't.
No, I don't think so. I don't think in the IDF, if the religious Jews fast for Yom Kippur, suddenly they get insane and shoot their officers. No, I don't think that works.
I might yell at my wife or something, but that's about it.
Wait a minute, what does your wife have to do with a commanding officer in the desert?
I'm talking about slight irritability, perhaps.
That's, yeah, well, slight, not a synagogue at the end of Yom Kippur.
I've been there.
all of the breakdown of the lipids.
I think the biggest problem with Yom Kippur is getting a good pizza after or bagels because they.
All right, now we're already into the bagels and lox juice story. I'm not interested. That's all. To me, Judaism is a religion. It's not something to be joked about. And either you're religious or you're not religious. But the claim you're culturally Jewish or culturally Christian or culturally this or culturally that is not the same as saying I'm religiously this or that. And, you know, that comes back to the religious issue with Romney. One thing I respect them for is his Mormonism. And I'm not a Mormon. But I've done business with Mormons when I was in the herbal business 20 years ago. I used to fly up to Salt Lake City. And I'm going to say it again. I have never been cheated by a Mormon. How's that? Let me start with the basics. They are the most honest, reliable people I've ever done business with on earth. And I think it's true for everybody who's ever done business with Mormons. So in that regard, I really trust them. That's a big statement. You know, it's a very important point. They're honest people. They're clean living. Of course, there are a few who don't, but so what? That happens. But by and large, they're clean living, wonderful people. And I think that's a real plus for Romney, and he should play up his religion. I would like to see Obama really get honest about his religious beliefs, because if he had a Muslim father, which he did, a biologically Muslim father from Kenya, then he was raised by another Muslim father in Indonesia. The mother married another Muslim man. And then he went to a Muslim religious school as a young boy. There's nothing wrong with having gone to a Muslim religious school as a young boy. It doesn't mean he became a radical anti this or that. But why can't he cop to it? Why does he have to say he has no Muslim roots? Half of him is Muslim, at least. He was raised, he was inculcated, he was steeped in Muslim ideology. He studied in a madrasas, for God's sakes. I would welcome a discussion of Islam's finer points from Obama, if there were ever could be such a thing. I doubt it with the communist moderators that were picked. No, we're not ready for the shirt clip. I have so many callers. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. They're good callers, but I think I lost you already. Let's see what's in. List of Republican convention speakers for Tuesday. Here's a hot ticket. 2 p.m. Chairman of the Republican National Committee, Reince Priebus. Is that like Regis Philbin's Reince Priebus? RNC co-chair Sharon Day. Now, there's a household name for you. Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn. Following Bob Buckhorn, we have Convention Chief Executive Officer William Harris, another household name. Then we got Chairman of the Tampa Bay Host Committee, Al Austin. Give me some drum rolls after each one or a cymbal shot. After that, we got State Delegate Barbara Comstock, R. Virginia. And another household name coming up, Representative Tim Griffin, Republican of Arkansas. Following up with those inspirational speakers at the RNC today, we have the Committee on Credentials Chairman, Mike Duncan. What happened to the symbols? What, are you ready? You blew it already? What's with you guys?
Ugh.
Committee on Permanent Organization Chairwoman, Zoraida Finalides. House Speaker John Boehner coming off a scotch drunk. Did you hear John Boehner? I couldn't believe this. Let's hear clip four. You're not going to believe this.
I don't clip see any four, major four. Changes in this platform from what we've had in the past. And if it were up to me, I'd have the platform on one sheet of paper. You know, have you ever met anybody read the party platform?
Right.
I've never met anybody. It ought to be on one sheet of paper. And guess
I
what?
I got to tell you.
If you had a party, I was on this.
Three sheets
about,
to the wind and one sheet of paper. Know, that's what we need.
8 or 12 years ago. That we ought to have a one-page party platform. That way, Americans could actually read it. They might be willing to read it.
Well, that was Boehner in one of his most inspirational moments. Here it gets better in clip 20. Clip 20 now.
I know my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. And while there may be differences between some Democrats and Republicans, I can tell you that, you know, 99% of my colleagues are decent, honest people trying to do the right thing for the country.
Does that include, let's see, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer? Who else is a 99% pure like Ivory Soap? This is now you understand why the country's finished. Not one word out of his mouth made any sense nor of any meaning. I'd like to know what following House Speaker John Boehner, we had Committee on Rules Chairman John Sununu. Following up with that household inspiration is Virginia Governor Rob McDonnell. After McDonnell, we have another household name that's bound to bring down the House, Senator John Haven. And we conclude the ceremonies before recess with Representative Marsha Blackburn. 6:40 p.m. recess for Scotch. 7 p.m. reconvene. Reconvene 7 p.m. And then there's Boehner, previous. Video and remarks by Saratoga Springs Mayor Mia Love. Saratoga Springs Mayor. They're really hitting the high notes today. We follow that up with Janine Turner. Not to be outdone by Janine Turner is former U.S. Senator Rick DeSueta Santorum, who tore Romney to shreds in the early days of the primaries. And then there's Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers. I can't take it. I just don't understand what they're doing here. I'm looking down the list. There is not one conservative on the list. Is this all for Tuesday? Wait a minute. Wait, it gets better as the day goes on. Hold it. They're saving the best for the end of the day. Here. 10 p.m., Mrs. Luce Vela Fortuño, First Lady of Puerto Rico. And, of course, following Luce Vela Fortuño is Ann Romney. And the Republicans will conclude with the first person on the list who I actually want to hear, New Jersey, Governor Rotund Chris Christie. And away we go. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm back at the microphone. I was cleaning my dustbuster. Pardon me. So I see that Ann Romney is going to be the big speaker. And look, God bless her. She's a wonderful woman. But she's not running for office. She's not running for office. And I think that Prince Harry streaking the stage would be a better lead-in than Ann Romney, frankly. I mean, you talk about attracting attention. Maybe they can have Prince Harry run across the stage. Just streak the... Well, you could see why I wasn't invited to the floor of the Republican National Convention. In fact, not one conservative is allowed on this on the floor. They're detested, hated, reviled. Tea parties need not apply. Tea parties, stay outside and drink your tea. I'm surprised that John Boehner didn't hold up a cup of coffee and say, "I like coffee, I don't like tea." You know, but he really has a nice gravelly voice. He sounds like a guy on a bender. So here we are. Justin Peters, a female Florida pastor, credits prayer group for sending Tropical Storm Isaac away from the RNC. This you're not going to believe. Listen to clip 22. You want to hear madness?
We have had lots and lots of people praying around the clock that it would move. And if you watch from the very beginning where they were saying it was coming and now where they're saying it's going, then it has really moved out of the way for us. And we appreciate God doing that and moving it for us.
God bless her for having such faith, really. I don't want to be around it when a Christian school bus turns over and falls off a cliff and 16 children die. See, that's the one thing I can't get into. I'm a God-believing man, but I don't live in fantasy that God controls everything because then we're not free, you know, we have no free will. Now God moved the storm away from Tampa? So it was God who first moved it towards Tampa? Then it was God who moved it away from Tampa? So why did God move it towards Tampa to begin with and cause such an upset? How do you explain that one? And what, so he wanted people in New Orleans to get killed during Katrina, that God wanted them to die? Oh, my God. Where does this end? It's like everything is Margot. It doesn't make sense to me. Get the revival tent, you know, step right up. Crazy. Just crazy, the whole thing. It's very hard to keep your mind when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. But remember the great poem, If, by Rudyard Kipling. Been out of favor for 100 years now because he was too nationalistic. Rudyard Kipling wrote a great poem called If, and one of the couplets is incredible. If you can keep your head while all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, why then you'll be a man, my son. Now, that's how I feel most of the time. I try to keep my head while all those around me have lost their mind. Everywhere I turn, it seems the Republicans have lost their mind. And they want to get elected now. Now they want me to support them. Could you play Peggy Sue? I have a few minutes left in the hour. I want some rock and roll thrown in. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Donna in New York on double. Oh, you got it already. Come on, give them some music. I'm not a Republican. You're allowed to play music.
Oh, well, I love you, girl. If I love you, Peggy Sue.
Can you imagine if we had these guys on the stage? I mean, I know they're dead and all, or whatever. They're in walkers with transfusion trees somewhere in Tennessee now. But could you imagine if we had a group like that on the stage as a lead-in for Romney instead of a guy 78 years old playing a saxophone? New York, WOR. Donna, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to say I'm a new-time listener. My brother Rob has got me hooked on your station, and I started reading his book, and it had me absolutely disgusted.
Wait, I'm missing. You're listening to me in New York City on WOR, of course, but you're reading which book?
The Trickle Down Tyranny?
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. And what do you think of Obama now that you know who he really is?
I'm just getting through the book. I'm not happy.
Yeah, see, the problem is most Americans are too busy to pay any attention to what's actually happened to them. But you're going to get rewarded. You're getting a free copy of the book so that you have your own copy. Notice the American. I don't want to read from the book right now. Just, you know, I don't want to do it. I'm just too agitated. I've been eating too much popcorn. I watch a lot of movies at night. I got to admit it. I'm so tense from the show that I take a bike. Oh, did I tell you what happened to me last night? Someone rang my doorbell. Can I tell you? Do I have the time in this hour to tell you what happened? I never, ever answer the door to a stranger. I live behind locked gates, doors. I move around from house to house, city to city, because the Democrats are so trusting and accepting of diversity of opinion that I have to kind of keep my, you know, my head, you know, over my shoulder at all times. Guard dogs, alarms, loaded guns, you know, that kind of thing. A normal American life, in other words, under Obama. I don't know why, what possessed me. I was cooking a lonesome dinner of spaghetti with tomato sauce. That's all. I had a cheap bottle of wine, New Zealand wine. I got it the night before. I loved it. So I bought it again. I got a headache like you can't believe. I returned the rest of it today. I'm going back to beer. Anyway, I'm cooking spaghetti. I let the guy's at the door. And he says, I'm not here to harm you. I said, oh, great. I reach for the air light, right? I mean you no harm. So I looked down through the security camera, and I saw he had, like, sandals on and barefooted. He sounded Middle Eastern. I said, okay, so who are, he said, I think my father sold you the house. I said, oh, my God. He's the kid from Finland that was living here. It was a little kid 10 years ago. I let the kid in. I gave him a glass of wine as I cooked my spaghetti. He lived in this house that I'm in 10 years ago, and he moved back to Helsinki. He's just visiting, and he's studying Tibetan Buddhism, and I told him about my years collecting plants. I never do this. In my life, I never do it. Never, ever would I let anyone in. But why did I let him in? I have no idea. But there's a reason for it. I don't know what it is. I guess you have to be a Buddhist to see the reason. Who knows? What can I tell you? I'll be right back is all I can tell you, right here on your local station.
Seven.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to the Code Stinkers singing outside of the Republican convention as if to imply that the human rights that they wish doesn't exist in America. What I wish is that Code Pink would go sing that in Islamabad. My only dream is that Code Pink would be, Code Stinko would sing that outside of Beijing's party headquarters. My only hope is that Code Pinko sings about human rights in Syria, or Code Pinko sings about human rights in Saudi Arabia instead of bothering me with their fastidious insanity. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Tonight, of course, we are focusing on the inspiring Republican convention, which, of course, we could have phoned in the nomination. We have no idea why they're holding these conventions anymore. We know they cost hundreds of millions of dollars. The only people who are there are party apparatchiks. And I heard there are 1,500 journalists from around the world looking for scandals, hoping to get a Prince Harry a story of a Republican throwing a sofa out of a window. Better yet, running nude through the hotel lobby. Boy, that would be a winner, wouldn't it, for them? Somebody from Reuters. They caught a Republican, like, in the wee hours of the morning running naked through the lobby. Gee, that would be a big score. That would be really advanced Western civilization. So we have excerpts from Ann Romney's convention speech. Let me start by saying this. I like Ann Romney as a person. I mean, I don't think she's as much of a Barbie doll as Bush's wife was. She chilled me. Whatever. Laura Bush was a Stepford wife. Let me put it to you that way. Laura Bush was a Stepford wife, and I didn't warm up to her, okay? Laura Bush chilled me. Ann Romney looks like a warmer person to me, just as a person. But she has no place giving a speech tonight, in my opinion. I think it weakens the candidate that he needs to hide behind it. Mommy's apron strings. And I know it's going to be more, kind of high school-y pappy garbage. When Mitt and I met in love, fell in love, we were determined not to let anything stand in the way of our life together. Hallmark number one. I read somewhere that Mitt and I have a storybook marriage. Well, in the storybooks I read, that's hallmark number two. A storybook marriage, no, not at all. What Mitt Romney and I have is a real marriage. Now, what does that have to do with a man leading America out of the morass we're in? Can anyone explain this to me, why we're going to listen to this drivel? At every turn in his life, this man I met at a high school dance has helped lift up others. He did it with the Olympics when many wanted to give up. Hallmark number four. This is the man America needs. Hallmark number five. So it's Hallmark cards. I mean, if you're into greeting cards, you're going to love Ann Romney's speech. One thing you got to say for the First Lady, Michelle Obama, is that being the Lord of the Fries, as she is, she's true to her calling. I mean, she is the Lord of the Fries. There's no question about that one. 1-800-449-8255. You're listening to The Savage Nation. I'm being a little lighthearted about things. I mean, you want me to get heavy, then you won't listen at all. I mean, I'll read my textbook for you, Trickle Down Tyranny. Then you'll say it's too much. Rothschild's quote is, "Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws." I was talking about George Soros. How come there's not been one word from one speaker about the puppet master of Obama, George Soros, the most dangerous man on the planet, in my opinion, the most power-mad man on the planet? How come there's been not one note, not one word about the corruption within the Democrat Party? Not one word about the scandals from Solyndra to the $900 million loans to senators and congressmen's wives and husbands that Obama has been engaging in. Not one word about the thuggery coming out of the unions. Not one word about the hordes of illegal aliens who are eating us out of house and home as though we're a free buffet where it's all you can eat and you pay nothing at the door on the way out. How come not one word about the threat of Islamofascism? How not one word about our troops being shot in the back by the Afghani throwback vermin? How come not one word about all of the things that are so near and dear to our hearts? And let me tell you something else. I'm Michael Savage. If you ask me who my political hero would be in the regular mainstream political arena, there's only one person who comes to mind, and it's not Ronald Reagan. I was not a Ronald Reagan fan. He did certain things to farmers, which I will never forget. I was much younger then, and I had no party affiliation, which I still don't, incidentally. I'm just a conservative, so I'll vote for Romney. I want to be clear about that. I will never vote for this communist regime again. Never. Because if you think it's bad now, you've seen nothing yet. Well, we're going to look like Eastern Europe with one salami hanging in the butcher store if we get four more years of this guy. So, yeah, okay, be clear about what I'm going to do. But there's only one candidate, and it wasn't Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was a good guy up to a point, only up to a point. I don't like the idol worship of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan destroyed the family farm in America. I studied it in great detail during those years. I myself was going through great struggles, and I saw what he did to many family farmers. They shot themselves as their farms are being auctioned off. But I don't want to go into those details. Barry Goldwater was my guy. Now, I want you to get Barry Goldwater's famous one-liner. It's a two-liner. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to tell me if you wouldn't like to hear this tonight. Listen.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
This is inspirational. This is intergenerational inspiration. That is what we need at a convention. Not Hallmark cards. Not balloons in a time like this. Do you understand why I have such angst and why I'm overeating during this period of time? Do you have any idea what this is doing to me physically and emotionally to have to even focus on these people? They're good people. They're nice people. They're not my kind of people. I wouldn't hang out with Republicans. I certainly wouldn't hang out with Democrats. I prefer a 10-pound poodle myself. But the point is, I'm not a regular party guy. I don't go for this kind of thing. I don't know how people do this for life. This is their whole life. It's they're like, you know, they're like the kids in high school who ran the GO. Remember them? I had nothing to do with them. I was always an outsider. I was always in the little cafeteria, not the big one. They were always the goody-two-shoe people. I guess you need them to run, you know, the civic stuff. But, I mean, do you really want to hang out with people like that? I don't know. That's what this reminds me of. It's like almost like enough already. Can't we just get on with it and vote? You know what I'm saying? Why are we paying attention to these conventions? When a telephone call or an email could have nominated Romney. It's over. He was nominated. Now let's go home. Give the money to the poor. Go out in the streets of Tampa and give out the money that you're going to save by closing it down. Pittsburgh, PA, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, pleasure to be. My pleasure.
Dr. Well, Savage, okay, make your comment, please, Mark. We have to move it on.
Okay, my comment is I believe in the convention. I think it's a good thing that's going to happen. Can you imagine the liberals are shaking in their boots tonight?
You're not making any sense. Why is a convention a good thing? Please explain it.
Because I think it's going to ignite the party, the electric. I think everybody's going to, you know, rise up, and we're going to take this country back. We need.
But you're just speaking in platitudes. You've not said anything yet. Has anyone given a speech yet? Has anyone said one word that you'll ever remember?
Not at all, but I predict that this is going to happen. This is going to be a good thing for us.
Okay, again, platitude. It sounds like you're drinking the same stuff that John Boehner is, and I don't want to kill your high, so I'll just send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I hope you enjoy it. Is Boehner speaking right now? Let's hear some of his inspirational Scotch talk.
Illustrate. You know, I'm what you call a regular guy with a big job. Ugh. I've got 11 brothers and sisters, and my dad.
Oh, we heard it already. We know you were poor.
I worked there growing up, mopping floors, waiting tables.
Oh, we heard it already. So what? So you're not mopping floors now.
Learn how to deal with every character who walked in the door. So let's say right now some guy walked into our bar full of guys looking for work.
See, not one word about the problems America's facing. The drunk is just rambling on about nothing.
Well, you know what we'd do? That's right. We'd throw him out. Think about this. A guy walked into our bar full of people paying more for health care, paying more for gas, paying more for everything. And this guy would say, well, we're better off than what we would have been. Well, you know what we'd do. We'd throw him out.
They don't even understand the joke.
Now,
that was a punchline.
Into our bar full of folks who couldn't tell you the last time they got a
raise.
Someone
told them, go with something you know, John. Let's see, bars. You're good on bars and drinks. All right, let's use bars. All right, John, here's the speech. It's about a bar you own. Let's work with the bar theme. Okay, guys, listen, write something from about bars. He can handle that. All right, John, you're in a big bar now. Talk about what it'd be like. Go ahead, John, you're on.
This guy ran a small business, got involved in it while he was in school. Then, out of nowhere, his business partner died. They had just one customer. So he fought like hell through sleepless nights and close calls. And thank God. Paid their dues, proud of what they've managed to do. Mm-hmm. Now, if a guy walked into a bar and heard that story and he said, well, if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Well, you know what we do with him, don't you? We'd throw him out.
See, keep the bar theme going. See, it's got a certain rhythm to it.
By the way, that's
whatever you do, talk about the now hurricane. The hurricane's about to come in and hit New Orleans. You know what we'd do if we were God, and he was coming into our bar? We'd say to the hurricane, "Throw him out! Throw that hurricane out!"
Anyone who's built something from nothing, no guarantees.
You know, if I were alive when Hitler was invading Poland, well, you know what we would have done in our bar? We would have thrown him out.
He can't fix the economy because he doesn't know how it was built.
Now, let's say you own a bar and you feel a rumbling under your feet, and it's an earthquake under your feet in Pittsburgh. Well, what do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You get down on those floorboards and you yell through the floorboards, throw them out!
Who doesn't get it, and electing a new president who does.
Yeah. And I say, don't throw them out. Wait, do we throw them out or don't we? Let me check my cards. Are we throwing this one out or not?
George.
Oh, no, no, we're for him. No, we don't throw out the new president.
And he was fond of the old saying that when things are at their worst,
throw them out.
That's just the place and the time that the tide will turn. Well, delegates, this is that time, and this is that place.
Wow, this guy's a heck of an inspirational speaker. He's got a big future ahead of himself after his political career is over. He could run corporate retreats. Are you kidding me? Him at the Bohemian Club? What a hit he'd be. He'd give the speech on throw him out, and they'd be running naked through the woods with Prince Harry. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Any major changes in this platform from what we've had in the past.
And all right, so that's John Boehner's voice, and continuing on the bar throw him out theme, I would say this was one of the most tragic speeches I've ever heard in my life. It was shocking that John Boehner is up there. I don't know whether he's medicated or drunk or what. Or I think it was like a Dewey. I mean, this guy looks like he's on pills and booze to me. And this guy, Reince Priebus, who's up there now? Priebus? He looks like Mr. Bean. Where did they get this guy from? If ever you went to Central Casting to get, like, a guy who was unattractive, you'd find Reince Priebus, who's the head of some Republican. Isn't he the number one guy in the Republican National Committee? Chairman. Where did they get him from? Mr. Bean, a hybrid Republican. They couldn't find a more unattractive male if they looked for one. Somebody denuded of any maleness. Is Reince Priebus. You know, I used to say years ago that I didn't know the difference between the two parties. You know, it didn't matter, but there is a big difference. It's like the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is like the difference between diet soda and Ipecac to me right now. I mean, I would rather have orange juice than either diet soda or Ipecac, frankly, but I'm not going to get it, so I'll take the diet soda, not the Ipecac. You know what I'm saying? Throw it out! All right, John, here's the thing, John. And look, John, this is the guys behind the doors, I'm imagining, who wrote the speech for him. They know he's not a good speech giver. He gets scared. He gets the flutters. You know, he's known to, like, hit the bottles. You know, all right, look, we got to do something he knows. What does he know? Let's talk about it. House, no. Being poor, what we'll work it in. What theme? Bar. Okay. Write a bar theme. People coming in the bar. Any topic. And whatever. And throw it out. Okay. Got John, you got it? Yeah. Okay, now go up there. Go get it. So John Boehner gets up there. Now, there's talk of global warming out there by the Democrats. Well, we don't look upon it that way. I say if the sun gets too close to the earth, just throw it out. Now, they say that the undocumented American citizens coming in from Mexico, eating us out of house and home, are going to bankrupt us. I can't say throw them out because I was told not to. So I say bring them in. Bring in all those people from Mexico. That's the new Republican tent. Bring them in. Yeah, whatever the topic is now, John, remember, you got to say throw them out. But certain topics you can't say throw them out, John. For example, bailouts. Now, bailouts are bad. You know that's not the Republican way. I say if a business fails, why, let it fail. But no, you can't do that under Obama. Obama gives everybody money, and that, as you well know, is not the free market. I say there's only one way to approach a business that's failing, and that's throw it out! And go on the government dole, John? Is that it? Now, Mr. Bean is up there now. He's really emotionally emoting. Oh, there's three women clapping, I could see in the back. He said something that excited three women over 400 pounds each in the back of the Republican National Convention. This is unbelievable. I mean, this could almost turn me into another political animal. If I watch another day of this, I don't know what might happen. I may go cut sugarcane in Cuba if this keeps up. I may have to go to Cuba and cut sugarcane with the Compaceros. I can't take another minute of this. If you talk about stereotypical, boring Republicans who are so out of touch with reality, you couldn't have done a better job than this so far. Period. End of story. That's my criticism.
Savage.
And where at least I know I'm free.
It's going from bad to worse. I got to tell you, I was fixing my dustbuster during the break, and it's running fine now. Clean as a whistle. And I say get a dustbuster. Fixed it up during John's speech. You hear how much better it sounds after that? I cleaned out the filter. They got a fat guy on the stage now at the RNC. The most unattractive man in the history of the world. He's at least 500 pounds. He looks like one of those shows on medical anomalies that they have to cut a guy out of his apartment with a blowtorch. He's up on the stage now. Looks like the stool is going to break. Why did they pick him? They're supposed to be... An entertainer's supposed to be attractive. They're entertaining. It goes back to the Egyptian, to the campfire. An entertainer entertains. He enraptures you with his poetry, with his art, with his gestures, with his body movements. They get a tubby out of there, out of like medical freakdom. Where'd they get this guy from? It's going from bad to worse. I don't know who put this thing together. Notice there's not been one conservative statement, not one conservative speech here. The guy looks like he's going to have an attack on the stage.
God bless the U.S.
Oh, my God. Give me Kate Smith. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I feel more alienated from the political parties than I have ever felt in my life. You know, I couldn't sleep last night thinking I had to do this today. But to be honest with you, it's worse than I thought it would be. This is worse. This is worse than the root canal. Watching the Republicans, watching John Boehner was the equivalent of having a tooth implant. The day the doctor had to drill into my bone to put in the pin. It was about equivalent. But I had no narcotics this time. I had to watch this guy. I couldn't believe this. Hawaii, Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you're killing me today. Your take on this thing is about the most hilarious thing I heard. I'm trying to drive a John Deere tractor. You got me driving into the cornfield over here.
But I'm not. You see, the thing is that I'm doing this raw. This is my emotional reaction to this boring RNC convention. It's almost unspeakable. It's unspeakably horrible how they're doing this. It's unbelievably. It's a stereotype of everything negative about Republicans. Do you know that?
I got to agree. And I'll tell you what, if my dad, a diehard Democrat, was to hear your take on this thing today, he would definitely be a member of the Savage Nation because, unreal. You're killing me, man.
Unbelievable. Well, you had to watch it for yourself to believe this. What is the woman jumping around with a pink veil? You see, I'm watching it on C-SPAN, and I'm watching all of the gals, the drunks there. John's going to buy him all a drink tonight. John Boehner. Does this disgust you seeing people jumping around like this while you're toiling? You're toiling. What do these people do for a living, these Republican apparatchiks? What do they do for a living? Can anyone explain to me how they can afford to go to Tampa and just walk around and get drunk and listen to drunks give speeches and fatties give speeches? No, I'm sorry. I can see why I walk around frowning. I'm not a smiler myself. I don't like men with fixed smiles on their face. They worry me. There's something loose in their brain. I scowl. People say to me, why do you scowl? I said, because it's terrible out there. It's awful. The world's horrible. And it's getting worse by the day. I know that you're supposed to be like, oh, it's great, man. The Republicans are going to win and save the world. You really believe that, huh? Let me put it to you this way. If they keep this up, something bad is going to happen. Romney is committing Harry Caray by letting this go on. Sacramento, Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I think you just said what I'm going to say. As a 24-year-old Republican in the Bay Area, I'm always saying, you know, at least as a Republican, we know business. You know, we know how to get things to turn around. But that singer that's on stage right now is showing that the current Republican who's who has absolutely no idea what they're doing.
And I got to say, Scott, I agree with you. I agree they're going to be Obama light. If Romney wins, you're going to get Obama light. You think he's going to actually change the course of the ship? I don't anymore.
Well, I'm joining you in Cuba with those sugar fields. But what's going to happen,
and Scott,
now?
You see, young guys like you, you know that I'm the number two show in the world on radio, on the internet. You know that, right? And it's mainly younger listeners who listen to me on the internet. I'm the kind of guy that they're listening for on that stage and they're not getting it. They're getting like GO people from college, from high schools that you never listened to. You were probably the kind of kid who was not in the GO, I would guess.
I was the kind of kid that just kept quiet because I grew up in the East Bay, in the Bay Area, and every time I said I disagreed with this or I disagreed with that, I got 38 stares in school like I was crazy.
You're trying to be a rational, conservative Republican voter as a young guy, and you take a look at the nauseating visages coming off the stage, and you're afraid to identify. You don't want to identify with it, is what you're saying. You'd be embarrassed to, because you're afraid that your Democrat friends are going to say you associate with that guy. That's what you're afraid of, right?
What's going to happen now is on the nightly news today on ABC, NBC, CBS, they're going to say, "Oh, they want the 450-pound man to sing, but they don't. But they want him to pay for his health insurance, and it's going to completely be turned around."
I don't understand why they picked him. Why couldn't they pick an attractive woman or man of any race to sing? Why? Why did they have to pick Tubby as an example? But the worst part of it, forget Tubby. Okay, there are fat people, whatever. Why would John Boehner give a speech that was so disorganized and so drunken and so discombobulated? It made no sense. Okay, I did a parody on John Boehner with the bar and all of that, but I was doing it because I was nauseated by it. Did you find his speech as upsetting as I did?
I find everything about the man, to the point, the way he looks, the way he speaks, and in that speech he said, "I have a big job." No, Mr. Boehner, you have a small job, and it's represent the citizens, and he's not representing. So what we need to do is...
Scott, here's what you need to do. Listen, slow down. Here's what you need. Everyone listening to this show should go home, look for their dustbuster, and clean out the filter. It would probably be more interesting and better on your ears than listening to John Boehner. I'd rather hear this. "I'm Victor Kiam, and I say..." You remember him? He was great with the raises. "Hey, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny to show you I can be serious as well. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to New York City. WOR Chuck, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I was one of the first guys that called you up when you got onto WOR. I was Chuck the Dentist. You probably don't remember, and I don't expect you to. I just want to briefly tell you that I thought you were, like, unbelievable with the, "Hey," you know, with the Indian buffet. Tonight, though, you caught me in the middle of my salad and my beer. And when you throw them out, oh, my God, I was just reeling over. The dressing, the Newman's Own, was practically coming out of my nose. I couldn't hold it. That was hilarious, man. Unbelievable.
Well, now, because this is how I work out my pain, is I kind of turn it into humor. I always did this since I'm a kid. And you know, at the end of the day, if we lose our sense of humor, we're all finished. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something. You are one of the most funniest, miserable guys that I love.
Hey, look, dentist, I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny because I know you're not going to go out and buy it. Dentists are very frugal. I got to tell you that. The kids I knew who were the most frugal went to dental school. I don't know what it was. It's something about the retentiveness and the retention and retaining and retainers. Because, in other words, if you really want a good retainer, you become a lawyer. That's what you do. Now, you don't become a dentist. Who's up there now? Let me have a feed of this one. Oh, let's see. What's this now?
And says, "I can do that." Oh. That's the America I know.
Oh, God. Oh, God. One postcard after another. Oh, now we're going to get a booster talk.
President Obama's version of America is a divided one, often pitting us against each other based on income level.
All right, good. She's along the lines of a Michelle Obama inspiration. Standard story, though. You know, African-American woman, struggle hard, now I'm the mayor, you can do it too. Okay, we'll take that as opposed to I struggled hard and I need the government. All right, you know what I'm saying? Give credit where credit is due. But at the end of the day, am I going to remember it like my hero said? No. You don't even remember it anymore. Because let me remind you of something. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you of something else. Be awfully nice to everyone you meet on the way up. Because you can meet them all on the way down. That's Jimmy Durante. I never forget that one. That was a great line for people in the entertainment business. He was wonderful as a kid. I don't know. It was a different world. People were more good-natured about their differences because we didn't have outright communism. We had two parties, okay, Democrat, Republican, you know, they're business guys, all of them. And if one could hoodwink the public and win, okay, the other kept them in line. But it wasn't as vicious. And the reason now is that you have basically a communist regime running America They have hoodwinked the American people, hijacked the American dream, and then you have a tepid middle-of-the-road Republican Party, afraid to say it like it is for fear that they'll lose the vast middle voter who doesn't know what's really going on. So their strategy is one of utter and absurd caution, by the way. Caution, caution, caution. I myself am embarrassed by the convention. It has a big ick factor. I knew it would be bad. It's like when you go to the dentist, you know it's not going to be a pleasant experience. Even a cleaning. Just the thing of laying down in the chair with a stranger with a pick and a mirror. And then other people see you with your feet. You know, it's not good. It's not a good experience. But it's going to be sort of like dental work. And you're expecting a convention's going to be icky, right? An ick factor. Like, you know, middle of the road, you know, people waving thing. This hit a new bottom. I pray to God Christie comes out and does something. I mean, I'm a Christie fan. I like the guy a lot. And I wish he was running for the presidency as opposed to you-know-who. I am not looking forward to the rest of this. And tomorrow, who's on the... I got to do this again tomorrow. And then when is it over, Bay? Well, Friday? Thursday? Can I take a... It ends Thursday? They all go home from Tampa? I myself, as I said yesterday, if you think I'm bad now, wait till a Democrat convention comes up. I would rather spend 2 weeks driving around Opa-locka in a 78 sedan with a broken tailpipe dragging sparks than listen to the Democrat convention. I'll tell you that. And you could throw in 8 tracks of Mantovani on the radio at the same time. When is the DNC embarrassment? Oh, it is next week. I get 2 weeks in a row of this. Great. I gave up a trip to the Mediterranean to listen to that fatso give a song. I got an email from my whole family. They're on the way to Sardinia on a boat. And I'm sitting here sweating from head to toe watching one like circus animal after another. Who is up there now? Where'd they get this bleach job from? Who is she? A radio host from Dallas. Isn't that great? Not Rush, not Savage, not a conservative, but an unknown local radio host who's like Republican light. You see, this is what I... There it is. That's it in a nutshell. Now, don't get me wrong. If they had said, Savage, we got to have you at the convention. Do you want to go? I would have said, what? I can't hear you. I'm cleaning my dustbuster. What? I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's unbelievable to me. I'm watching more of this. It's like a Republican vaudeville show, but a bad one at that. When I was a kid, we used to go to a movie theater. My mother and I, God bless her, they actually had movies, 2 movies on a Sunday and 10 acts. I swear to God, jugglers, balloon men. I think that was Howard Stern's father, the balloon man. Jugglers, balloon men, puppeteers, ventriloquist, you name it. I'd sat for 4 hours in a movie theater in the Jamaica Theater. This is like a bad vaudeville show. There's not one act that I would book if I was a booking agent. Who put this together? Who are the party like leaders who came up with this? All right, get the fat guy out to sing. Then bring out that guy who looks like Mr. Bean. He runs the joint. Put him out there. All right, we got the fat guy, then the little guy. Then follow up with a African-American mayor. She'll bring the house down. Then follow up with a Barbie doll from Texas. Unbelievable. And what's next? I'm breathless. It's getting worse by the second. I'm sitting here watching this. Who put this together? The worst convention in American political history. This is not middle of the road. This is muddle of the road. Muddle of the road. Where she's going to go? Oh, now they got a guitarist. Who's this one now? Random country guy. Oh, he's got a cowboy hat. He must be conservative.
I knew I had to buy. Well, it cost me my life savings.
All right, country and western. Okay, get the guys at the pickup trucks with the wife-beating shirts. Well, let's appeal to them next. Say, we got the fat vote. Oh, we got the obese vote. We got the bleach blonde vote. She's gonna go home tonight. Like, I know it. How did I do, honey? Like the boyfriend? Did I do okay? You did good, man. You were really good. No, I don't know. But that blue that they made me wear, I didn't want to wear that. It was too. Did I look okay? Oh, you were great, honey. You really did. Have another Xanax with that wine tonight. Calm down a little. It's okay. No, was I okay? I mean, you think it was a career booster? Will I get syndicated? It's okay, honey. Calm down. But they made me wear blue. They said I had to wear a primary color, red, white, or blue. No, honey, it was okay. You look great. Are you sure? Did my roots show? Well, just a little bit. What? Yeah, well, when you tilted your head forward, we saw the black roots. Oh, God, honey. Oh, my God. Did I? Oh, they're really getting down now. Those hips are really moving in that auditorium. and our day. All right, very, it's like country light. Country light. There's no guts here, no glory, nothing. It's like General Allen. The whole world's becoming like, I don't understand it. How do we kill our enemy anymore? I mean, God bless the guys who can still press a button that sends a drone to kill the barbarians. Now our men are getting shot in the face, shot in the back by the throwbacks from Afghanistan, and the general gives a speech saying that the reason the Afghanis are doing it is because they're fasting from Ramadan and they're under stress. I can't believe my eyes. And they're not talking about the war, about anything important. New Orleans is bracing now. Throw it out! That's what I say. That storm bothers you in New Orleans? Don't worry about it. Just get down on your knees, look that storm in the eye, and say, this is my bar, and we're going to throw you out! Prince Harry, Vegas. I don't know. When is Romney? I mean, when is Christie coming on? Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Well, at least there's a fat guy with guts. There's a difference between a heavyset guy who's got nothing and a heavyset guy with a lot of power. Christie's a heavyweight, heavy-powered guy. I mean, I remember making that mistake when I was a kid picking on a fat guy. Did I get my head behind whip? Right, Terry, we don't need the music. No, in school, you test yourself out. People pick on each other. That's how that bullying was, the whole method of finding out who you were. I know it's illegal to even say it, but the thing is, I was picked on a lot because I was on the short side. I had to learn to stand up for myself, and I did. It took me a long time. But the fact is, I remember once a fat kid and I got into it. I figured, hey, fat, you have no idea how strong fat guys can be. Because underneath that layer, there's sheer, you know, girth. You know, that's what it is. Don't ever wrestle with a fat guy. That's all I can Who is this goody two shoes? This is like the bad librarian that you went up to for a book and she smiled at you and she said, I'm sorry, we don't have it. This one. She's like the type of woman who's never gone out with a man. She'll be proud to say that at age 40, I've never dated.
My family,
who is this, babe?
The business we built and my belief in America's unlimited potential.
Cher Venezuela?
But it starts with a wonderful story.
She's related to Cher, the left-wing actress?
After our son was born,
there is a woman up there with like a page boy haircut and big like
forever.
Clark Kent glasses.
We learned that our
she's
son
like
Sondra
she's like the ad artistic. For a woman who would like the 40-year-old virgin, the woman version.
With every fiber of our being.
You know, everyone up there is like a Republican stereotype, overweight, drunk. It's unbelievable to me. Every stereotype about Republicans has been played out on the stage today. I'm really shocked that they would do this. You know, but I'm not shocked. I know it. I know by how they've treated everyone in the conservative movement. I know how they've banished everyone in the Tea Party. I know how I've heard over and over again John Boehner is a compromised fool. I heard that from very, very high place people. They warned me, don't expect anything from Boehner. He's a complete and total compromised man. He's afraid of the Democrats. He'll do whatever they say. You know, it's beyond belief to see what they're doing here tonight. And next week, of course, you get to hear me doing the Democrat version of this, and I'm sure I'll have as much fun, but, you know, they're probably going to have their share of equally stupendous acts in the Democrat vaudeville. But the fact of the matter is, this was difficult. This was difficult. I feel like I'm coming out of a dental office right now, and the anesthesia is starting to wear off, and the jaw is just throbbing, and I can't wait to go over to the local Chinese restaurant and have a beer immediately, you know, to get the drugs back on. I mean, that's the problem is that I didn't come from the dentist and there are no drugs in my system. It's unbelievable. There's only one solution, is I have to run down to the boat and start pumping the bilge. Anything but this. Or fix my
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We'll be right back. Wow, we have great audio for you today on the Savage Nation. Code Stink is back. Yeah, Code Stinko is back.
Oh, how I want to be in that number when we make peace instead of war. When all the world has human rights. When all the world has human rights. Oh, how we want to be in that number when all the world has human rights. Thank you.
Al Corleone has come out of hiding, too. He's come from under a rock.
I respect President Obama and his leadership. And when I hear criticisms of him not doing enough on climate, I certainly understand the basis of those criticisms. If the Romney-Ryan ticket were to win, again, I'm biased in my analysis of this, and people will recognize that, but I would fear for the future of our environmental policy.
More warming, more swarming.
It's really no longer a legitimate question for doubt or debate. I know there's some people that don't like to hear it put that way, but people around the world are suffering from the consequences of the droughts and the heat waves and the extreme flooding events and the unprecedented windstorms and the fires. It's really gotten to the point now where it's kind of absurd for anybody to say, hey, nothing's going on. What's wrong? July was, in the U.S., the hottest month ever measured. And globally, 9 of the 10 hottest years ever measured have been within the last 10 years. This is the 337th month in a row where temperatures were higher than the 20th century average. And the fact that the news media doesn't report it in that context, every night on the news now, practically, is like a nature hike through the book of Revelation.
Here's General Allen making excuses for why our troops keep getting killed in Afghanistan. Shame on General Allen. If we had had General Allen in World War II, we'd all be speaking German.
We're trying to understand what may have caused in each case, but also in the aggregate, why these attacks have occurred and why they have increased in number in the last several weeks. May have something to do with Ramadan. It's a very tough time for these forces, and in particular this year in Ramadan, as it is known in most of the Muslim world, Ramadan fell in the middle of the fighting season. The daily pressures that are on some of these troops, compounded by the sacrifice associated with fasting, the nature of our operational tempo, remembering that Afghan troops have gone to the field and they have stayed in the field, and they've been in combat now for years. We believe that the combination of many of these particular factors may have come together during the last several weeks to generate the larger numbers that you point to.
Here's Governor Jan Brewer, my favorite lady, talking tough.
All the time. The race baiting. It's all the time that, you know, we're bigots.
And do you think the president is purposely race baiting on the issue of immigration?
I do. Absolutely, I do. There's no doubt in my mind.
You think the president himself or his campaign? You think he purposely sets out to race bait?
He is his campaign. And, you know,
and what's your evidence
he panders to them. And look what he's done in Arizona. He doesn't secure my borders. He's told the Border Patrol, actually, to look the other way. He took their 287G away from all my law enforcement in Arizona. And so now they can't even call in and use it as a tool. And then on top of that, on the same day, what does he do? He establishes a hotline. So if you feel like if your civil rights have been infringed upon, that you got a direct line to DOJ. Oh, come on. That's wrong.
And here's Speaker Boehner. Says he can find common ground with Obama. What a disgrace he's become. It's a shock.
There's nobody more open to solving the problems facing our country than me. There's nobody more transparent about what needs to be done. I'm going to do everything I can to solve the major challenges facing our country. And I'll sit down with anyone on either side of the aisle. I can find common ground with the president. We found an awful lot of common ground last year in attempting to solve our debt crisis. Unfortunately, the president lost his courage.
Well, as I said yesterday on the show, and I'll say again today, I myself am glad I'm not in Tampa. I mean, when you see John Boehner, Speaker of the House, saying that 99% of his colleagues, including the communists on the Democrat side, are decent, honest people who are trying to do the right thing for the country, you know we're screwed. And as I said to you yesterday, I'd rather spend 2 weeks cruising Opa-locka in a 78 sedan with a dragging tailpipe shooting sparks, listening to 8-tracks of Mantovani, swinging less toy from the bottle, even sniffing furniture polish, than spending a minute at Tampa. Here's what's on michaelsavage.com, borders, language, culture. Actress hopes hurricane kills every pro-life, xenophobic, gay-bashing SOB at the RNC. And you thought Ellen Barkin was a nice person? Well, that's what happens when your derriere starts to collapse. As I told you before, the lower the derriere, that's the LD, the lower the LD, the higher the L quotient. The lower the derriere sinks, the higher the liberal quotient goes up. She's one in a long line of ex-beautiful women who, once their body fails them, their mind follows. Welcome to the newly created Socialist States of America. The one book you need to stop Obama before we lose all of our constitutional rights is Trickle Down Tyranny, on sale everywhere. Michael Savage says we're seeing the beginning of Soviet-style repression here in the U.S. Look no farther than U.S. troops being rounded up and arrested who disagree with the government. It is happening. It's happening under Obama's regime. In Egypt, thank you, Hillary Clinton and Obama. By next year, Allah willing, Israel will be annihilated, says an Egyptian professor. And you call it an Arab Spring? Are you people insane? An Egyptian designer runs afoul of Saudi princess, gets 500 lashes. In Berlin, a Somali broke his wife's fingers because she wanted to feed children during Ramadan. Islamofascism, anyone? Or you don't remember those words? 17 Afghans beheaded because they attended a dance party. It's unbelievable. It gets worse by the day. Egypt's Morsi to visit Iranian nuclear plant. 2 more U.S. troops shot in the back by an Afghan soldier. Is Obama playing for the opposing team? Also on michaelsavage.com, there's a disturbing story on the left. A child porn, a gay rights icon, was arrested in June for downloading and transferring child pornography. Thus far, no indictment for the left-wing human rights big. Think there's a triple standard in San Francisco? DUI charge for future San Francisco Archbishop. Scientists say animals are just as conscious and aware as humans. I believe it. Michael and his high school rifle team, from his forthcoming book, Train Tracks. Go to michaelsavage.com, link to amazon.com. Whatever you have to do, go ahead, enjoy yourself. I'll be right back. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, there's a whole part of America that may be, let us say, in trouble, out of work, unemployed, hiding it, and foreclosed. And I want to ask you, has your home been foreclosed? Have you lost your job? Who do you think would help the situation more, Obama or Romney, and why? It's a very important question, given that there are, what, 18 million people out of work? I don't know how many are out of work. The numbers are probably much higher. HBO normally has really bad stuff on, and I flip through it once in a while. I watch it, so most of the time I don't. There was a show called Hard Times Lost on Long Island, and it shows like four families that were in foreclosure. They lived in Levittown, New York. They were ordinary guys. Alan Fromm and his wife Susan met in Brooklyn, moved to Plainview, raised two children, master's degree. Then he loses his job. Ann and Mel Strauss, they meet on the LIRR. She has a master's degree. And then his mortgage broker job moves him away. Then in 1999, he was diagnosed with cancer. I mean, the guy had one thing bad after another happen to him. Then they show a guy, Nick Puccio, out of work, losing his house. But the most heartbreaking story was this one. And I want to show you what could happen to people on Earth. Heather and David Hartstein, he was a doctor, a chiropractor. She was a teacher. And she said, we met in college, married right after college, settled on Long Island. I worked as a teacher. David was a chiropractor. They have a beautiful little house, you know, a little house and two children. And there, she said they were living a fairy tale life right down to the white picket fence. Okay? Nice people. Good looking guy, strong looking man. And then suddenly his practice dries up. She gets fired as a teacher. And to top it off, wait, I got to read this line exactly right. This show really affected me because it shows you what could happen to people. One of the children is test positive for Down syndrome. That's if things aren't bad enough. Here it is. On the day that the bank rejects their application for a loan modification, their little boy tests positive for Down syndrome. They file for bankruptcy. Now, this is the killer. You're watching the show. I got captivated by it. I shouldn't have watched it because it's very depressing. At the end of it, they do a postscript of what happened to the people after the show. This poor guy, this good-looking guy in his 30s, whose life went after leading a perfect life, they say he was cleaning out his basement for the foreclosure. He contacted hantavirus and died. And it shows a funeral for David Hartstein with his wife and his Down syndrome child and a healthy child. So you start to ask yourself, how lucky are you? I mean, how lucky are you? Or if you're listening to the show, do you really believe that there's no role in government for helping people who are down on their luck? I mean, let's be clear here. Let's stop with the free market baloney. There are no jobs for some people, no matter how they try. So what are you supposed to do with them? Throw them in the gutter? I don't really go for the guy riding around in the Gulfstream jet, chomping on a cigar, laughing at everybody, and saying, well, we need the free market. The more you give them a government handout, the less they're liable to work. Well, maybe that's true for some people. It's not true for all. Now, there's a 99-week limit to unemployment benefits in the city and state of New York. 99 weeks is 2 years, right? That's almost 2 years. So these people are now wanting an extension of the unemployment benefits, which is another question because who's going to pay for it is the real issue. So I ask myself, if you're listening to the Savage Nation, have you been foreclosed? Have you lost your job? And who are you going to vote for and why? We know Obama's not going to help you. We know absolutely Obama's practices as a communist have destroyed the economy. Like a Grim Reaper, he went through the economy. He's done nothing except basically feather his own nest, the nest of his cronies and his benefactors and donors. I can go after one after the other. We know hundreds of millions, billions of dollars, in fact, have gone up in smoke, disappeared. But if you consider yourself, let us say, somewhat of a, let's put it this way, you're not a liberal. I don't want to say, are you a conservative? But you know you're not a liberal because liberalism is not what you think it is. Liberalism today is radical socialism. And many of you understand that, you no longer identify as a liberal. But let's say you're not a liberal, but you're unemployed and your home has gone into foreclosure or you're about to go into foreclosure, what would you do? Now, while you're calling me at 1-800-449-8255, I want to talk about unemployment, who you're going to vote for. The show is pretty sad. I shouldn't have watched it because it brings up a lot of feelings of, loss in your life. To see a young, healthy guy like that, chiropractor, healthy, 30s, good-looking wife, two children. One of the kids is diagnosed as positive for Downs. Then the guy's practice goes. Then first she gets fired as a teacher. And I'm a former teacher, so you can't start. You don't blame the teachers for what the National Education Association or the teachers' unions do. Don't blame the teachers. The union leaders are stealing the money. The union leaders are living like pigs. But don't blame the teacher in the schoolroom for what the teachers are suffering through. I was a teacher. It's one of the most important jobs on earth and the least respected job in America, and a very important and very hard job. If you do teaching right, it's the hardest job on earth. You're going to blame this teacher for getting fired? She wasn't a good teacher? No, don't blame her. Blame the union workers. Blame the union managers, the corrupt unions that are stealing most of the money. They're earning hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in the unions, and the teachers are getting fired. So that's number one. Then here's the guy, healthy chiropractor. One bad thing after another. She said we had 13 years of a fairy tale marriage. 13 years, they meet in college, get married, start a life, teacher, chiropractor, everything works fine. Then, boom, one after the other. She gets fired. Practice starts to diminish. Child with Down syndrome. Behind on their mortgage payments. Foreclosure. To top it off now, this healthy young guy goes in the basement to clean up the basement because he's going to be thrown out on the street because he can't make the payments. And he inhales rat droppings, I guess is what it is, and he gets hantavirus and dies. She's left alone with nothing. And you ask yourself, how do people live with these things happening to them?
Savage.
Talked about how some of the unions in this nation are focusing on their power instead of on the union members, which is an old story. Joining us now on the Savage Nation is Mallory Factor, who has a new book out entitled Shadow Bosses, which sheds some light on what these unions are actually up to. Mallory Factor, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, great to be here.
So what made you write this book?
This book is about coercion. It's about corruption. It's about violence, secrecy, special waivers, backroom deals, feather bedding, and nationwide classroom indoctrination. Welcome to America's tax-funded government employee unions.
How were the unions involved in passing Obamacare?
It's real simple. What happened was, way before Obama took office, there were plans being made by the SEIU. That's the union that our union label president was a member of. There was an actual presentation made by a Clinton senior policy advisor, former Clinton senior policy advisor, Chris Jennings. He made a presentation called Prescription for Successful SEIU Strategy for Healthcare. And what they talked about is with a national healthcare system, everybody would eventually become government employees, and they could go ahead and try to unionize them. Right now, we have about 1.5 million employees that are unionized in our healthcare industry. After Obamacare takes full effect, SEIU wrote a memo to the head of Obama's transition team, who was Daschle, former Senator Daschle, and they said they're going to have 21 million members, and they'd like to get every single one of them paying dues and force them into paying dues.
Well, everyone says the union bosses are the problem. There's nothing new under the sun. It was well known through the 50s and 60s they were corrupt.
In Shadow Bosses, we really go into that in great detail. Michael, that's well put. What happens is these shadow bosses, they masquerade as pro-worker. But what they're really doing is they're bankrupting our pension systems. They're killing our prosperity. They're destroying K-12 education, and they do this while confiscating rank-and-file members' dues for the sole purpose of solidifying their power across America and in Washington.
You say under Obama there's been more kickbacks than any other president in history? So we've gone backwards 50 years?
He's our first union label president. It is amazing. You know what is even more amazing? After his first 100 days, there's an argument that went on in the press between Richard Trumka, AFL-CIO's thug boss, and Andy Stern, the former SEIU head. Andy Stern bragged about how he'd been to the White House 22 times and met with the president at least 6 times, all in the first 6 months of the presidency. And, by the way, that's more than a lot of cabinet members got to meet with the president. And then Trump comes back and brags that he'd visited the White House 2 or 3 times a week and talked with a member of the White House staff every single day, including weekends.
What about unions and politicians?
Oh, and shadow bosses. That's one of the things we show in great detail. Conventional wisdom says that big labor does thug-in-chief Barack Obama's bidding. But in our book, Shadow Bosses, we demonstrate through research exactly the opposite. It's the public sector union honchos that are wagging the White House dog, and I'm not talking about Bo. The teachers union, believe it or not, taking $2 billion a year in dues, just the teachers unions, and they use it to control education. And what's really sad are sometimes teachers of the year, this actually happened, teachers of the year in New Jersey, Nevada, teachers of the year in Michigan, they were fired while teachers who were doing poor jobs, having poor track records, were kept on. It's all because of the union. One of the best quotes I've ever heard, some people say he said it, and some people say he didn't say it, is from Albert Shanker, and that is, when students start paying dues, that's when I'll represent the interests of students.
What do you mean by forced unionization?
Well, in 22 states, if you're a member, if you're working for the government, and you and you want to sell your labor freely, you want to stay out of a union, you can't. They'll throw you out. They'll fire you. You have to pay the union tribute, or you can't keep your job. You got to pay them dues.
What feedback have you heard?
Our book has become a bestseller overnight, and we've been actually vilified by the AFL-CIO. They've actually said some pretty rotten things about us, but we expect that. The fact is that these guys are the true one percenters that they like to talk about. You'd be shocked at the amount of money these guys make. I mean, we're talking about huge amounts of money. A secretary treasurer of one of the unions asked me makes $847,000. $847,000. I mean, these guys are huge takers. Private planes. One union chieftain spent $325,000. $325,000 on just private plane trips in a period of 18 months. That was AFSCME's president, Gerald McEntee.
Union coercion is legal? Oh, I guess so.
Sure is. And that is so sad, too. There is a case called the U.S. versus Enmans, and it's really pretty sad. What happens is there's a strike going on, and in the strike, some workers blow up a generator, they blow up a generating station, they fire high-powered rifles, and the substation blows up. All sorts of violence goes on, and these are electrical workers striking. The court decides that their acts aren't wrongful use of violence, and that they can't be prosecuted under federal extortion laws, because they are in the furtherance of legitimate union goals. I mean, these goals being improving the outcome of a strike, it's like getting a free get out of jail card. That's wrong. It's just shocking.
Where can we read more?
First of all, buy the book, and after you're done reading it, don't keep it. Give it to a legislator. Get him to read it. Get him to understand what he's doing to our country. Give it to a mayor. And after you get Shadow Bosses, go to the website, www.shadowbosses.com. We put information up there all the time, and we'll continue to try to keep you informed.
Mallory Factor, good luck with your book. Thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I can't thank you enough for having me.
This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage, back in a moment.
Savage. a fairy tale life fairy from tale. The very beginning.
Right down to the white picket fence.
But in 2008, that's when it all hit the fan.
People that aren't unemployed tell you, I know how you feel. You're working. You don't know how I feel.
I will thank God every morning for that next job.
That tells you something about the economy. When we're that busy, it's never good.
It's like you look around. We don't seem like people who are in foreclosure.
But we work really hard at not letting all the stress drown us.
I'm broke. I'm bankrupt. I'm done.
The American dream is gone.
So this was an HBO documentary, which I'm shocked that HBO would produce, given that they're such Obama worshippers. Hard Times Lost on Long Island. And I watched it. I was very moved by it in that the unemployed people that we see are not lazy. They're not complacently collecting unemployment checks. They're desperate. They're hurting. They're looking for work. They're not like the bums on welfare that we all despise. They're not like the illegal immigrants who are on welfare who we all resent. They're not like the bums who come to this country and have 16 children just for the benefits. These are ordinary Americans who've worked all their lives and now suddenly, bing, unemployed, foreclosed. So that's why I think it's worth talking about. And I've asked you if you're unemployed or foreclosed, you know, to give us a call. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. At least vent. Let America know. And let's tie it to the coming election. Who are you going to vote for and why? Bob in New York on WOR. You're first up. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I had a heating and air conditioning business for like almost 20 years and had my son work for me and had a few employees. And when the economy started tanking, business got bad. I had come up with my son actually had come up with an idea for an invention. We actually got a patent and started a second business with a product we manufacture ourselves, was an accessory for the HVAC business, was starting to take off. When the housing market tanked, we lost the total market for our product. I tried to hold on to that business. I invested about $300,000 in a small warehouse and factory.
So where do you stand now? This is one bad thing after another. Where are you now?
I do have a job. I mean, I got a job, you know, doing HVAC work in a, you know.
What about your house? Are you being able to pay your mortgage?
I lost my house. I'm 59 years old at 3 years
ago. You lost your house and did what? You got evicted from your house?
It foreclosed. I couldn't make the payments. I was unemployed for...
But when you're foreclosed, do they come and evict you from the house?
Yeah.
That has to be the worst experience in a man's life, wouldn't you say?
I had to move in with my daughter and her husband for about a year till I could get back on my feet financially. I tried to pay off my creditors and stuff from both businesses.
So Bob, given that you've been the victim of a society that's turned on you, in essence, I'd like to say an economy that's turned on you, but I would say a society that's turned on you, because the society has permitted gangsters in the banks to create a false bubble, bust the bubble out, take the money and run, and leave everyone holding the bag. It's not the economy that tanked. It's the society that tanked that didn't put these men in jail. That's how I see it. And the proof is that Obama, who came here saying he was for hope and change, has not restored the Glass-Steagall Act, even though there are 70 co-sponsors wanting to restore it. And I've been talking about it ever since trickle-up poverty. So, I mean, these are important points, very important points. It would get rid of speculative activity. Commercial and deposit banking would be protected. These derivatives, exotic instruments, MBs and CDOs, carbon swaps, would all suddenly be thrown into the trash can where they belong. These fiduciary instruments were invented by the crooks on Wall Street, and they traded in them just to make commissions. It's unbelievable to me. Glass-Steagall, I wrote about it. I don't want to bore you with it, but it was actually passed by Franklin Roosevelt. It was Bill Clinton, Democrat, under the former head of Goldman Sachs, Robert Rubin, who eliminated Glass-Steagall. And it's not gotten any better. It's gotten worse. Brad in Sacramento, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. Hey, first of all, I did lose my house. I had to short sell it due to a divorce. But I spent 2.5 years trying to get a modification. Finally got it through Bank of America / Countrywide, and my ex would not sign it. So I short sold my house. And I will tell you, because of Obama's ruling, I did not get hit with the IRS tax consequence of this, of which would have been over $300,000 in a short sale. So
that's very good, but that means that we bailed you out. That means those of us who work had to pay it through taxes. That's why we have a $3 trillion deficit. It didn't come from nothing. Obama didn't take it out of his pocket.
I would have been hit with a $300,000 tax bill.
Well, I understand that. But who do you think paid that instead?
Well, I understand that. I understand. But you said he didn't do anything to allow people to start over. Without that, Michael, people would have been devastated, not only losing their house, but then it hit you with a tax bill on top of it.
Okay, so you're one of the lucky ones who benefited from Obama's chicanery. But what about those people who paid for that bill?
Well, I understand that there's a cost, and there's always been a cost for every major catastrophe in this country, whether it's war bonds or whatever. And I will say this because my grandmother asked Ronald Reagan to run for governor, and so I was a die-in-the-heart Republican. My dad couldn't understand why I voted for Obama, but the reason I didn't vote for him the first, or McCain, was I had a 21-year-old son. I'm thinking we're going to be in five more wars if he keeps talking about bring the bigger gun to the table.
So, well, wait, hold on. Wait, that's what you feared with McCain, but wasn't it Obama who sent another 30,000 troops to Afghanistan within the first 3 months of his administration?
Yeah, I understand that. And I
So let's pause there. So McCain was the war hawk, Obama was the peacenik, but within 3 months of taking the presidency, he sent 30,000 men, new men, to Afghanistan. So who was the war hawk? The answer is both of them were front men for the invisible string pullers.
Well, I actually have a very good friend in the Marines, and I asked and called him and said, what's happening? He says, well, we don't have enough troops. We're going to get wiped out. So either you go in or you back out completely. And so you got that's the answer. I mean, talk to the guys on the ground. You got to give them enough troops to make this work.
So wait a minute. So now you're glad that he was a war hawk because he was a Democrat war hawk. Is that it?
We didn't get into two more wars. Let's say we're in that one already.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You seem to be in conflict. You said you didn't vote for McCain because he was a war hawk. You voted for Obama, and although he escalated the war in Afghanistan, he's still a peacenik to you?
We're not in two other countries fighting two more wars.
How do you know we would have been in two other countries?
I think we would have been in Iraq or Iran. I think we would have been there with McCain's talk. I think we would be in most of the...
And what happens if you call me back in October after we've gone to war with Iran? Are you going to sing the same tune?
I'm going to be disappointed if we do that. I really do.
So you're now a diehard Democrat Obama supporter because you got bailed out. Okay, that's the way the world works. In every crisis, there are winners and losers. And the president calculated that he'd have more voters if he bailed people out than if he didn't. That's all. I didn't say that some people didn't benefit. Take a look at the people surrounding Nancy Pelosi. They all benefited from the Democrat contracting. Take a look at the people around Obama in the solar industry. Not one solar company has made a dime, but look at the billions of dollars they've made. I'm sure they're very happy with the green energy contracts that they got. I'm sure that those working on the Chevy Volt production line are very happy. Even though the cars cost hundreds of thousands of dollars and no one wants them, they're like the Yugo of America, the electric Yugo. There are people who love the Volt because it keeps them going. I'm sure the battery manufacturers, whether they be domestic or foreign, are very happy with the Chevy Volt. You see how these things work. That's how these things work. Here's an interesting collateral story. You know the company Capital One that uses that vile creature known as Alec Baldwin? I get sick when I watch that. I'll never, ever use anything that Capital One sells, ever. It's one of the nation's biggest banks and credit card lenders. They just agreed to pay $210 million to resolve regulatory cases, the latest legal setback for the financial industry. What did they lose? Capital One lost a ruling for pressuring and misleading more than 2 million credit card customers. You understand what I'm saying? Like when I read ads on my show, I make sure, to the best of my knowledge, that everything I say to you is truthful. I never want to mislead anybody on my show. I wish we could say the same for Alec Baldwin and his work for Capital One. But the fact of the matter is, this is the first of many actions against lenders that are ramping up payment protection insurance programs. And the fact of the matter is, the government apparently is going after banks on a selective basis. I still haven't seen any action against the missing billions of dollars in a certain individual who's a big Obama supporter. Pennsylvania, Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm an out-of-work engineer. 3 years ago, I was nearly killed in a wreck on the way to work, and I've been in the hospital 24 times since. My home's been in foreclosure. I was able to get a emergency loan, a rescue loan from the state of Pennsylvania, but that's about to run out in a few months, and my house will be in foreclosure very shortly again.
And what would happen to a man like you, David, if you lose your house, being that you're wrecked from a car wreck, your body's all wrecked up? Where are you going to go?
I'll be a street person. I have nowhere to go.
You're kidding.
No. No, I have nowhere to go. I'm on food stamps and cash assistance and medical assistance, and I'm not proud of it.
But, David, you don't have to be. See, this is the thing. I'm trying to distinguish myself from others, and I don't want to be rather confused by listeners with being others. I don't ride around like a frog in a Gulf Stream laughing at everybody on the bottom. I've come up the hard way. I've been on unemployment at brief periods of my life. I know what it's like to lose everything. Savage.